We turn to Acts chapter 11 for scripture reading. Can I pass on congratulations to our brother Stuart and our sister Grace McDowell on the birth of their little boy during the week as well, and we pass on our congratulations to them. Acts chapter 11 and verse 1 of the chapter. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners. And it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou uncommon. This was done three times, and all that were drawn up again into heaven. Behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptizeth with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. I want to take as a motto text for this incoming year, verse 23, or at least part of verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He exhorted them with all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee today for the open page of thy word. We thank thee that we've been able to come and worship thee already in our meeting. We thank thee for thy presence and thy blessing. And our God, we thank thee for thy mercies upon us. We do rejoice in all of thy good gifts that thou hast given to us, and we rejoice in thy mercies already. And O God, we just ask thee that thou wouldst bless us at this time, and that we might know the surrounding mercy and blessing of Almighty God. Come and do us good today. Draw near to our hearts and bless thy word to each one of us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 11 brings our attention to an event which was very significant, because here we have an account of the first time that the gospel was preached to the Gentiles. Up until this time, the Jews had heard the gospel, but as the Christians were scattered abroad upon the persecution that came upon them, we read in verse 20, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." And the Lord singularly blesses the word of God that is preached there in the town of Antioch. And it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Now the problem with this success is that this had never happened before, that the word of God had gone to Grecians or to Gentiles. And really the early Christians were a little bit lost about what they should do about this, whether this was right, or whether this was of God, or whether they should count that as a good thing or not. And so they decided that they'd send a delegation from Jerusalem. The church of Jerusalem heard, and they sent someone up to investigate, and they sent a man by the name of Barnabas. Now, they couldn't have got a better man to go, because it says of Barnabas that he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. And as we read about Barnabas in the Word of God, we read of a man who was very open-hearted, a man who was willing to believe the best about people. And we read that as he came and as he looked at what was happening in Antioch, it says that he came, and when he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them with all purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And it is those words of Barnabas there to the early new Christians that I want to take as a motto text for 2016. It is advice that went to these early Christians, to these first Gentile Christians, and I think it is advice that we need to heed in 2016. I think I've told you before that research in the United States has detected that many people who profess faith in the Lord and even were involved in the work of God and were involved maybe even in running meetings and things like that have gone back and seem to have turned their back upon the faith. And we live in a day when there's great pressure upon God's people to conform to the world and to turn away from the things of God. The devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what we need in this day is that steadfastness and stickability. We need faithfulness in the work of God. And what we need above all other things is that God's people cleave to the Lord. Barnabas said, "Exhort them with all purpose of heart that they would cleave to the Lord." And I believe that that is something that we need to take to heart as we enter into this new year. No matter what takes place, no matter what may be the circumstances, no matter what footfalls or traps there may be along the pathway of 2016, thank God that if we cleave to the Lord, then we'll never be let down. So I want us to think about this text for a few minutes today. And the first thing I want us to think about is the features of cleaving. Now, Barnabas said to these people that they should cleave to the Lord. Now, what did he mean when he spoke about cleaving to the Lord? Well, the word that is used there in the text is a word that really means to remain in place. It is related to a word that speaks of remaining in place. It speaks of to abide or to continue or to stay. And when you think about this word, it's different from the word where we are to cleave to, the man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Now, that is speaking of things that are closely brought together. And that is the sense of cleaving there. But the sense of this word cleaving is to be permanently brought together. So it's not just closely brought together, but there's that thought of permanence, of perseverance, of keeping on, of not giving up on the relationship, of continuing steadfast. And you think of how this word is so appropriate for the children or the people that Barnabas is speaking to. We already have read here about how they had been persecuted and how they'd been scattered abroad. If you look at verse 19, it says, "Now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch." So these were people who were under pressure. So it is a good word, it's an appropriate word to exhort them to cleave to the Lord. And that's what we need to do this incoming year. Now, immediately we have the tension that there is in the Word of God between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. There's a sense in which we will only cleave to the Lord if the Lord gives us the power to do it. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we're kept by the power of God. But on the other hand, the Bible seems to put the responsibility upon us as well. We are to cleave to the Lord. We are to keep ourselves close to the Lord. And the Lord said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." And we have the responsibility upon us, as well as looking to the Lord, and we're kept by the power of God. But there is a responsibility placed upon us in this incoming year that we keep close to the Lord, that we keep ourselves in fellowship with him, that we stand perseveringly and steadfastly beside the Lord. And if we cleave to the Lord, it'll mean a number of things. It'll mean, for example, a leaving behind of the old things. In the Bible, we read about a man leaving his father and mother and cleaving to the Lord. And so with cleaving, there is that sense of leaving behind. We leave behind something else that we were cleaving to, and we cleave to the Lord. And we think of when the family is formed. The man leaves behind his old family, and a new family is formed. And there's a new family, there's a new entity. And that's what we need to do as we enter into this new year. We need to leave behind the old things. We need to leave behind the things that have defiled us. We need to leave behind the sins that have beset us and the sins that have weighed us down every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And those things that enticed us and attracted us. Those things that have led us away from the Lord. Those things that have been an idol to us. We need to leave those things behind if we're going to cleave to the Lord. And I exhort us this year as we enter into the year. If you're not saved, leave behind the sin and come to the one who is able to save you by his grace. If you're saved today and there are things that you look back on in this year that has gone into eternity, and those things are not right, and those things have drawn you away from the Savior, leave the things behind. Cleave to the Lord. There's that sense of leaving. There's also in cleaving the sense of loving. We are to love the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." When Joshua spoke to the 2.5 tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, he said, take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you love the Lord, you'll want to cleave to him. If you won't love the Lord, you'll want to be in his presence. And I wonder how much our love has grown this year and what our love is for the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 18 in verses 1 and 2, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I wonder, is there that deep down love? Has our love grown and flourished and extended? Is it as bright and strong as once it was? Cleaving to the Lord will involve loving. It'll involve something else, not only leaving and loving, but leaning. We have the picture in the Song of Solomon of the church coming out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. And we think of John, who is described always as leaning on Jesus' breast. And there's that sense again of love as he leans upon the Lord's breast. But there's also that sense of helplessness. He was depending upon the Lord. That picture of the church coming out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. She was depending upon her beloved to bring her through. She was depending upon her beloved for strength. And in this year, we need the Lord's strength. We need to lean upon him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And that's the safest policy. This year, we've got to lean upon him. Not only is there leaving and loving and leaning, but there is loyalty. We said that the primary thought of the world is word here, to cleave, is to abide. It is to stay close. It is to persevere. No matter what the circumstances may be, no matter whether the day may be bright or whether it be dark, whether the way may be rough or whether it be smooth in this incoming year, we stay close to the Lord. In My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers wrote this. He said, perseverance means more than endurance, more than simply holding on unto the end. A saint's life is in the hands of God like a bow and arrow in the hands of an archer. God is aiming at something the saint cannot see. But our Lord continues to stretch and strain. And every once in a while the saint will say, I can't take any more. Yet God pays no attention. He goes on stretching until his purpose is in sight. And then he lets the arrow fly. And when we realize that God is waiting until the end is in sight and his plans and purposes for us, we can certainly cleave to him. No matter how dark it may be, no matter how gloomy the path may be, we can cleave to the Lord. We think of what the psalmist said, as for me, it is good to be near unto God. And oh, that we might say that as we face into this incoming year. We see something of the features of our cleaving. But then I want us to think about the focus of our cleaving. Now, very simply, it's very much on the surface here, but I want us to underline it, because who do we cleave to? We cleave to the Lord. Now, we're not cleaving to the denomination. We're not cleaving to the church. We're not cleaving to a social group. We're not even clinging to excitement or stimulation or exhilaration. Many in the church today, that is what they're looking for, excitement and exhilaration. And things need to be exciting and they need to be exhilarating in order for people to continue on. And if they're not, people just drift away. But that's not what we're cleaving to. We're not cleaving to the excitement or to the social group or to the denomination. We're cleaving to the Lord. You think of the picture of Ruth and Orpah when Naomi was coming back to Bethlehem. And you remember how they came along the road, and at first both Ruth and Orpah were going to follow their mother-in-law and they were going to come home with her. And it seemed as if they loved their mother-in-law and they loved their family and so on. But then Naomi gave them the choice. And at first Orpah said, oh, I'll follow you, I'll go with you. But then when the cost was put to her, she felt, oh no, I'll go back to my old ways and I'll go back to my old friends and I'll go back to my old idolatries and my old way. And she left. But Ruth said, no, I'll follow on. I'll go on. I'll keep going. No matter, she says, my people will be
or thy people will be my people and thy God will be my God. And she said, no matter if we don't have anything in the new land, I will follow you. And here was that sense in which she followed the Lord and she followed on. And we need to focus upon the one to whom we go, because he is the only one who has the strength to meet our need. Only the Lord can meet your need. Only the Lord is strong enough to overcome the foes and the difficulties that will face you in the incoming year. The psalmist said in Psalm 28 and verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth and my song will praise him. The psalmist was able to feel that both spiritual strength and bodily strength that he needed to endure the trials was given to him. And he said, Samuel said in 2 Samuel 22, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. And if you want the perfect way this incoming year, then only the Lord is able to give you the strength that you need. Not only that, but the Lord's the only one who's able to give you the satisfaction that you need. You know, the world will hold out all sorts of satisfactions and other things may enter into our lives. But dear friend, at the end of the day, those things will not satisfy. You think of Adam. And when God made Adam, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And you think of how close the Lord was to Adam, that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We need to breathe God this year. We need to be close to God. The psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence there's fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And only the Lord can give us the satisfaction that we need. Only the Lord can set down the feast and fill the hole in our hearts and in our lives. And so the focus of our cleaving is to the Lord, the only one who can give you the strength and the satisfaction that you need as you face into this incoming year. But not only do I want you to see the features of this cleaving and the focus of this cleaving, but I want you to see the force of our cleaving. Now notice what Barnabas says to these new Christians. He says that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, the words there, the purpose of heart, would speak of a fixed design. It would speak of a spirit of resolution. Barnabas wanted these people not only to cleave to the Lord, but to do so with determination. To do so with purpose of heart. And I want us to think about this purpose of heart. What does it mean? Well, certainly it means a choice. We've spoken about the choice that we made. And certainly there is a choice here. They had to do this deliberately. They had to do it with their own choice of hearts. Do you remember what Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 30? He brought the charge to the children of Israel. And in verses 19 and 20 he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And this is what he said. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. And the children of Israel had a choice to make. He said, choose life, cleave unto the Lord. Could I suggest to you that we have a choice to make as we settle into this year? A.W. Tozer said, he said, now, not how we feel, but what we will determines our spiritual direction. It's not what you feel, but it's what you will that determines your spiritual direction. What will you? What do you want with your life this year? What do you want as far as your God is concerned? What is your desire as you face into this incoming year? There's a choice that with purpose of heart that we might cleave to the Lord. There's a choice. But also this phrase, with purpose of heart, speaks of constancy. It speaks of, without all the difficulties, with even taking into all account all the persecution, here is the exhortation. No matter what the circumstance, cleave to the Lord. Here were people who were determined. We know that many people today will blow with the wind, and they'll go, they're up one minute and down the next, and they're going strong one minute and they are away the next. But this year we have to leave behind the ups and the downs, and with constancy of heart, with this determination, we follow, we cleave to the Lord. And that's a good resolution. You know, we think about New Year's resolutions and about the determinations that people have. But there is a resolution to enter into as we enter into the year, that we might cleave to the Lord. It speaks of choice. It speaks of constancy. It also speaks of courage. Again, there's the thought of no matter what, but it also has the thought of not being half-hearted. With purpose of heart. You think of Jacob, who vowed a vow unto the Lord, and it brought many changes into the life of Jacob, but what blessings it brought. You think of Daniel, who, when he was facing all the difficulties that he had, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart. And God honored Daniel's purpose. God honored Daniel's purpose. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Paul determined to know nothing among you, to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The psalmist said, "One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the courts of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And you know, in those days, the gospel, and of course today still, the gospel was treated as foolishness. But Paul said, no matter about reputation, no matter what people think about me, I'm going to preach a message that seems foolishness to the world, but I'm going to preach on. I'm going to stand for the gospel. In these days when God's people are being persecuted, when children are being taken away from parents because of their adherence to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in these days when it seems as if as years go by, so the things of God are counted more and more as immoral, and as the society turns away from God and our stand for God becomes even more unusual, are we going to stand for God? Are we going to have the courage to stand in this day and generation? It speaks about courage. But also, I want you to see that purpose of heart speaks about the core. It is the heart. Now, the heart in the Bible is the center and core of our being. Now, we're talking about heart religion here. We're not talking about the outward and the peripheral and the show that comes on the outside. But we're talking here about something that is going to take place in the heart. How is your heart this year? How do you stand with God as you come to the start of this year? Have we to get right with God? Have we to come to the place where we turn afresh to our God and cry for his mercy and his grace? This is to do with the heart. Is thy heart right with God? So we see the features of cleaving. The focus of our cleaving is we're cleaving to the Lord. We see the force of our cleaving. We're to do so with purpose of heart. But one more thing, I want you to think about the fruit of our cleaving. Now, we've mentioned some of this already, so we'll just mention. There is satisfaction. We'll be satisfied. We will have a blessing in our hearts. Our hearts will be happy. If you want happiness this year, and we all have wished each other a happy new year, if we want happiness this year, well, the source of happiness is an obedience to Christ, obedience to him. There you'll find satisfaction. Something else you'll find is security. Because
you're sheltered in the arms of God and you're safe in a world where the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need that security. Something else, we will have salvation, or at least we'll have the proof of our salvation. Because a person that cleaves to the Lord, the ungodly man or woman cannot cleave to the Lord. They hate the Lord. But someone who with purpose of heart cleaves to the Lord is a person who knows that they're saved. They're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. But one more thing that is a fruit of our cleaving, and that is success. Because when we cleave to the Lord, then we have the power of the Lord available to us. Remember what the Lord said to the apostles at the beginning of the book of Acts. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. But ye shall receive power. And when they received power, revival came. There was a victory brought. There were blessings that came as they cleaved to the Lord, as they drew near to the Lord. So the Lord gave them power and the Lord drew near to them. And I want to tell you that people who stay close to the Lord are a people who always will be blessed. They'll always have God's blessing. That's what we want this year. Happy New Year. A blessed New Year. And if we want that, and I hope that we do, then we need to listen to the exhortation of Barnabas here to these new Christians, that with purpose of heart they might cleave unto the Lord. May we come today with purpose of heart, and may we cleave to the Lord in this incoming year. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word afresh today. And O God, we think of this exhortation that was given to these Christians, newly born again Christians, these first Gentiles who were saved. And O God, we think of this advice that comes to us today, this exhortation to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. We might cleave to the Lord, and we pray that we might do that in these incoming days for Jesus' sake. Amen.